Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone here on this third Sunday in Advent to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're having the Christmas party, birthday to Jesus afterward. Hope everyone can stay to eat a nice meal. You can take your red pad and sign it and pass it down with name, address. If anything has changed, you can let us know and fill out an I Wish card and drop it in the offering plate. The Christmas joy offering will be taken on December the 22nd. And that's to help colleges and retired ministers and mission workers who may not have enough to live on and go through some catastrophic thing in retirement. Nursery care, McFadden Hall, library is always open for a crying room, coughing room with speakers. Advent calendars, it's not too late, never too late to pick one up from the worship team. I think there's still some on the table in the back. Angel tree, are there still angels to be? They're all gone. Thank you very much. God bless you. Children's sermon, fourth Sunday of the month. 2,000 offering envelopes are on the table in the narthex. And if you're not paid your per capita for 2013, it's $26. And we pay that into Pittsburgh Presbytery. And that comes out of our local mission if it's not paid. And it's going to go up a little bit next year, about $27, to let you know. So we'll be taking that soon. I want to thank Anna and all of her helpers. And there's so many who came down and worked on the cookie trays and setting up boxes and cooking cookies and buying cookies. It was a big event, and just want to thank everyone for all the hard work that went into that. It really does take a lot of people to make an event like that work. And you know, the weatherman, as I watched the last news the other night, he said 3 a.m. is just going to snow and it's going to be piled up. Well, it didn't start snowing until later that morning. Gave people, I think, a better chance to come out. And when I got down here, just about every cookie was gone. There was four trays, but they were still good cookies, but the people always get the ones that look Christmassy with decorations on them kind of first. So thank everyone. It was just a wonderful thing. And thank you for all that you do, everyone, for everything that you do to make Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church the church that it is. And I just want to take a personal moment to thank you for your prayers for me. Had my eye surgery on my left eye for the cataracts. So many people have been asking me, it's easier for me to do it all at once. I go back in Wednesday for my right eye. My doctor has me wearing my glasses, which kind of, I think, kind of discombobulates me a little bit. And I'm having a little bit of double vision. I'm seeing the halos that they talk about, some pink casts, but they said I would. I believe when I get my right eye done, take the glasses off, then my brain will start working together for both eyes. If my brain ever starts working, I see that. So thank you for your prayers and for everything. God bless you. Was given this. I know some of you don't know him, but William his stamina continues to be low and he has returned to work. He continues to need to wear his helmet because he falls. He fell a week ago, needs a few stitches and a new helmet. We had him at the house for Thanksgiving. He did all right. He stayed with us for two nights, but the stairs were difficult for him to handle. Thank you, everyone, for your prayers. Merry Christmas. And William or Bill Reese, let's just continue to pray for him, whether you know him or not. Really nice young man. Loved coming to church and just not able to come anymore. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise 124, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for loving us.
We worship you because you always fulfill your promises. Forgive us for our impatience. Forgive our unbelief. Help us line up our motives and desires with your plans for our lives. Remind us not to look for signs and wonders, but to your word, which is eternal. Show us how to be patient while we wait for Jesus to return. May we serve your kingdom with integrity, joy, faith, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together this morning with a true sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another.
This This morning, we light three candles. The first candle reminds us of the marvelous hope revealed through the Savior's birth. In a time of despair, God shattered in darkness with the hope of a new future. The second candle reminds us of the peace that only Christ can instill in the human heart. In a world that abounds with hostility, Christ alone is the one who speaks, "Peace be still." The third candle helps us remember that God's perfect love made flesh can fill our hearts, ignite our souls, and change our lives.
Gracious Lord, as we continue our Advent journey, may we pray that being rooted and established in love, may we have the power to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. True love was not only born at Christmas, but revealed for all to see. May we come to know this love in our lives and share it with those around us. We pray this in the name of, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Responsive reading, Christ's Incarnation, 635, back of your hymnals.
No.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
He was in the beginning with God.
All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him.
He was God's light, and he should bear witness to the light.
The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world.
He came to his own home, and his own people received him not.
But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God.
Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father.
This time I'll ask to invite the elder on the door to come forward to prayer and praise requests.
Morning, everybody. Okay, we certainly want to send prayers out for Leonard with his eyes. Hopefully his next one goes well and this one heals up. You know that. Okay, Mabe asked to send out a prayer and a praise request for Adele Miller. Prayer request, I guess Adele, she had fell in her home. She's very bruised and swollen, and as she heals up in that, a praise request that there's no broken bones, so that's a good. Let's see, Mike Love. His son Justin, he had two small seizures and a grandma seizure on Wednesday afternoon. Spent the day in the hospital, and please pray that brain tumors do not come back. He's been cancer-free for 6 years now and would like to stay that way. He is seeing a neurologist tomorrow, so certainly want to pray for him. This is a praise request from Mike Love. He'd like to share this with the congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Bill Burgess. He passed away this weekend, although he will be sorely missed. His time here was not wasted and should be celebrated, not mourned. He was a teacher at my high school and touched thousands of lives. He was also my friend and mentor and a large part of my person that I am have become today. Thank you, Lord, for letting our paths cross and blessing us with this beautiful spirit. That's from Mike. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Gene.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and, of course, remind you. We'll say debts and debtors instead of trespasses when we go to the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come together, hopefully not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a sense of love, hoping to fellowship with one another, in a little while to break bread with one another, to talk and celebrate, to think about your birthday and what you mean to the world, what you've meant to our families and what you mean to each one of us as individuals, giving us salvation and the promise of eternal life, and with that, hope. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you've called us to be a church here at Glenshell Valley. That means working together, unified, moving forward, not with our own ambitions, but being led by the Holy Spirit. Help us to do that to the best of our ability, to listen to your voice, whether it's session or deacons or women's meetings or a team. And just as important as an individual, Help us to open up our spiritual ears, our spiritual eyes, to hear your voice speaking to us, reminding us that you've come into this world and that you are coming again. That we need to prepare ourselves to the best of our ability, looking to the scriptures, devotions, service, missions, everything that we can do, but not to earn our way into heaven. You've given that to us as a free gift, but instead to say thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us. And a part of who we are is to lift one another up in prayer, to hope the best for each one of us. Remind us to pray for our church every day. And we feel if there's something going on in someone's life, to pray for that person, to help them get back on the straight and narrow path. It's so easy to get off of it, to get sidelined by the things of this world. The glitter, the gold, the fame, whatever it might be. Help us to be a true family at Glenshaw Valley. Thank you, Lord, for Advent, giving us a little time to settle down and reflect during this harried season, and remind us once again what Christmas really is all about. Thank you for hearing our prayers, meeting our needs and those of our loved ones. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is The King of Glory Comes. The refrain is on the screen.
Thank you. audience giving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to give, to serve, to be with you in a close relationship, to hear your voice, to sing, to fellowship, to eat together. Lord, thank you for the many talents that you've given to the people of this church, that they use them for your glory. They serve you in everything that they do. May your name be glorified and lifted up high and mighty, that people can hear and believe and find salvation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless this congregation today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Thank Patty for a couple of weeks. She read the scripture, did a wonderful job, and she's here. And Bill's back and reading again.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
In today's scripture, John the Baptist has sent some of his disciples to question Jesus as to his authenticity as the Messiah. Some argue that John did this because he was incarcerated and expected rescue. And Jesus was not acting the way that many of the Jews expected the Messiah to act, that is, to rescue them from the secular rulers and put Israel back in its place at the top. Another side argues that John sent his disciples with this question because they were losing faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Again, because Jesus wasn't rescuing Israel from the evil Roman Empire. But included in Jesus' response are the three messianic miracles, along with all the other miracles that he performed, thus proving that he is indeed the Messiah. And that is what he told them to take back to John. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Matthew 11, 2 through 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleaned, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in the king's palaces. Then what did you expect to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It may seem kind of inappropriate to talk about broken dreams and disappointments this close to Christmas. But after all, this is a season to be jolly, but it's not a jolly time for everyone. For those who have lost loved ones, this can be the loneliest time of the year. In a world that glorifies materialism, those who are struggling financially may find it to be very disappointing, and some willing to do almost anything to go rob a bank or steal from their family or to take the family savings and go out and gamble it all the way, hoping to enrich themselves, to do anything to try to keep up with what they see on TV. Our friend John the Baptist knew about disappointments. John is in prison now, and he's looking for a sign that a long-awaited Messiah has finally arrived. That's ironic to me. John the Baptist is the one who first proclaimed his coming. But much has happened since John last saw him preach. We saw John preaching and baptizing people in the wilderness, and now his heart is downcast. Things have not gone the way that he really expected them to go. You remember John's message was, "Repent and the kingdom of heaven has come near." This message really burned in John's soul. John wasn't afraid to proclaim his message to religious leaders or royalty. It didn't matter. He wasn't even afraid to proclaim it to King Herod himself. That was why he was in jail. This was not the King Herod who was the ruler at the time of the birth of Jesus. This was his son, Herod Antipas, who turned out to be worse, if possible, than his father. Herod Antipas seduced and later married his brother's wife, but first he killed his own brother. The nation was in shock, and John the Baptist condemned the king's behavior and was placed in prison for it. While in prison, John realized that his career as a prophet would soon be ended and his life would be over as well. There was one thing that John wanted to know before he died. John wanted to know beyond a shadow of a doubt if Jesus really, really was the Messiah, the one they had waited for, the one that Israel had prayed for, the one that Orthodox Jews still pray for today. Can you blame him? He'd given everything that he had, including, in a matter of days, his very life. He wanted to know, has it all been in vain? Was it an illusion? Was it just a pipe dream? In the wilderness, John had believed Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, but in the face of certain death, he began to have some doubts. He wanted to know for sure, so he sent his followers to find Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" John the Baptist found himself in a disappointing and disheartening predicament. Things were not working out like he had expected, and sometimes that happens. Disappointment. John the Baptist was in Herod's prison. He was hurting physically. He was hurting spiritually. He was hurting emotionally. He was gripped with disappointment. John was disappointed because he had different expectations of what the Messiah would do. He was a prophet of his time. He expected the same kind of Messiah everyone else was expecting, one who would drive out the despised Romans and establish the kingdom of God there in Israel. And while languishing in prison, John must have wondered why this wasn't happening. What was Jesus, if he was the Messiah? What was in the world is he waiting for? Now is the time. Strike. For he must have thought to himself time and time again, why doesn't he drive these Roman dogs out of our holy city, out of our precious land? Leo learned about that kind of disappointment as a teenager. He said, "I remember the sudden appearance under my family's Christmas tree of the largest present that I had ever seen in my life. It stood at least a foot taller than me at that time and heavy, and it had my name on it." During the weeks leading up to Christmas, he could think of all kind of things that it might be, but he could think of nothing else but that present. And on Christmas Day, his family gathered around it, and the main attraction was the opening of my present. How many times in the past 2 weeks had I anticipated this moment? Every time I thought about opening it, and I remember experiencing a vague sense of disappointment, the great mystery was about to end. I could no longer be able to engage in my soaring dreams of what was in that package. My present turned out to be a beautiful handmade desk that my uncle had built for me. But by this time, nothing of this world could have satisfied my expectations. I can't imagine what I expected. Still, in that disappointment was a lesson learned that lasted a lifetime. Sometimes we're disappointed not because of what we received is bad or not good, but because we have faulty expectations. There are people in this very room who feel that somehow they have been cheated by life. But I can guarantee you that right now, if you lost everything that you had for a period of time, everything, and then after a period of time, everything that you had lost came back to you, you would be exceedingly happy. The problem is not what we have. The problem is our expectations. John the Baptist expected the Messiah to come by storm, but nothing seemed to be happening. It was not Jesus who was at fault. It was John's expectations. John was disappointed because he was looking for the wrong signs. The followers of John the Baptist caught up with Jesus and asked Jesus questions. Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for another? And Jesus looks at them and he answers them. You go and tell John what you hear and you see. The blind are getting their sight back. The lame are walking. The lepers are being cleansed. The deaf are hearing. The dead are even being raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. The kingdom of God is here now. You tell John that. Just look around you. The kingdom of God is among you. Centuries before, there was a prophet named Isaiah. And Isaiah prophesied about what would take place when the Messiah would arrive. And Isaiah said, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. Those weren't the signs, though, that John was looking for. He was looking for something more dramatic. He was looking for thunder, and he was looking for lightning. Charles Carroll, in his travels, tells about a Christmas tree growing in a very unlikely place up high in the Rockies, on a barren stretch on U.S. 50. Not another tree in sight. Not another single tree. There's one juniper tree that grows. And one year, someone went up and hung a Christmas ornament on that tree. And evidently, someone else did. And by Christmas time, that juniper tree that should not have been growing in that barren, dead space where things cannot grow was a Christmas tree. And people would ride by there, and they were filled with hope. It is the Christmas message that there is life and hope even in a rough, barren world. Isaiah wrote, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. But these aren't the kind of signs that impress people. We want greatness written large across the sky. But that's usually not God's way. God chooses to work in the little insignificant places and things of life. He worked in a virgin girl, a manger, a carpenter's shop, and the most shocking of all, upon a wooden cross. John was disappointed because he didn't give God time. John wanted action now, and we can understand that in light of his current situation, but God takes his own sweet time whether we like it or not. And I usually don't. I want it on my time. You do too. We always do. After all, he'd been working on this world for a long time, but his purpose is just as sure, and God's plan is just as unstoppable. Well, God has planned is going to happen. We're not going to make it happen, and we're not going to stop it from happening. Lincoln Steffens remembers one Christmas while growing up that he wanted a pony more than anything in this world. And he told his parents, "If I can't have a pony, I want nothing. I mean nothing." He and his sisters got up on Christmas morning, 6 a.m. You know what it's like. You run down and you look and start tearing into the presents, looking under the Christmas tree. And his little sisters, all excited, and they're looking at the presents, and they see the little boy standing there, Lincoln. And he's looking. Nothing. Not a single present. Not one single present. Well, didn't he say, "If I can't have a pony, I want nothing"? So his little sisters loved him. They all went running out of the room up to their bedrooms crying because they felt sorry for their brother. They loved him. And he went out to the stable and his mother came to comfort him because all he wanted was a pony. And notice his father watching him from a window for a couple of hours, and he said this was his worst Christmas ever. Not one single present. Can you imagine that? Not a single present when people around you are opening presents. Then he noticed a man riding down the street on a pony. And he looked again, and the pony had a boy's saddle on it. And he noticed the man looking at the numbers on the houses. He looked at his paper and he looked at the number, and then the man went on down the street. Lincoln said, "That's the last straw," and he threw himself down and just kicking on the floor and crying just beside himself. Then he heard a knock on the door and knock again. He looked out the window, and there was the man standing in his yard with the pony. He runs down. And the man with the pony says, "Are you Lincoln Steffens?" He says, "Yes." He says, "This is your pony. I've been looking for you." To this day, Lincoln says he still doesn't know if that was his best Christmas or his worst Christmas. You see, the pony was always coming. It was coming. But it didn't come on Lincoln's time. It didn't come with his expectations. He was impatient, and uncertainty drove him to the brink of despair and tears and upset that may would have caused him to do something he would have regretted even at that young age. I've been there in my personal life. I think you have too. I think we all have. Because God doesn't work according to your time schedule. He works according to God's time schedule. And sometimes He doesn't appear to be working at all, but He is working. He really is working. Sometimes you can't see it, you can't feel it, you don't believe it, but He's working. He wasn't working according to John the Baptist's timetable, but he was working. In fact, that's why we celebrate the life of John the Baptist. 2,000 years later is a sign that God was working. And I ask you, how about you? How about you? Is your life filled with disappointments because you have unrealistic expectations about life? About your job, about your marriage, about your church, about your God? Are you looking in all the wrong places to find happiness? Many people are. They're looking to casinos to get rich. They're looking to buying a lottery ticket. Easy way out. I'm not saying you can't ever buy one, but that's their way. Are they looking to an illicit romance to fulfill some need in their life? Are they looking to steal something to get easy money? Are they looking to put someone else down to try to make themselves feel better? But all those are negative things that destroy you and hurt you. They never build you up. Kindergarten teacher, we were kept lined up with little cherubs at a play. And they had little signs, four of them, to spell out stars. They lined up, as kids do, backwards. You know what stars spells backwards? Rats. And that's how we feel sometimes. Instead of getting stars, we're getting rats. Everything is turned upside down. It's not the way we want. It's not the way we expect. It's not on our time schedule. But settle down. Spend some time with God. Let Him fill you with the peace that only God can fill you with. These things of the world, while some of them are nice, and we all enjoy them, and they'll bring you some peace and happiness for a while. But only the peace of God will fulfill you for life. Bethlehem teaches us about expectations and signs and patience. God begins with a simple babe, humble surroundings, and He works slowly but surely. And He will come back in power and glory. But God is at work in this world and in your life at this very moment. So let's not lose hope. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Amen. A hymn of response, The Word Made Flesh, 121.
That you want Him guiding you and helping you.
that you go out into the world, spread the gospel, the good news that Jesus is here and that he loves everyone. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.